morning. Welcome to Parshas Vayechayesara, Tovshinayin Dalet. So we just finished Parshas Vayera. We learned about the incredible trial of the Akedas Yitzchak, where he had to shecht his only son, and with flying colors, Avram was successful. Hashem says, Ati Odati, Yerukim Ato, gives him brachas, wonderful. And then we meet Chai Sora. He has to bury Sora. Sora dies, and he has to bury her, pay a high price. What's happening right now? The Mishnah says in Ovis, in Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalet, Asora Nisyonos, Avram had 10 Nisyonos. The Mishnah doesn't elaborate what they were. The Rishonim on the page, they count them. And of course, we have different opinions. For example, the Baal Tanura, he says the Nisoy number 10 was the Akeda. That was the pinnacle. Rabbeinu Yoina, one of us, says no. Akedah was number 9. What was trial number 10? Kvur Asora. The fact Hashem had promised him Eretz Yisrael, and he has to buy it. His wife dies. He doesn't complain. Avram could have been bitter and complain. That's the Nisoyin Asiri. What's the machlokes? Why does some Rishonim count the Akedah as number 10, and some count Akedah as number 9? I would say it makes sense to say, what's more difficult, to slaughter your only son, that's it, to slaughter him, or to pay some money and buy for a kever? Expensive. Abraham was rich. He had money. What's a big nisayon? Obviously, to shecht your son is a big nisayon. So, once he's been tested for the big nisayon and he passed, why would he be tested again for a small nisayon? If you want to buy a new car, You tell the seller, I want to try it out. Take the car and you zoom up a massive mountain at 300 kilometers an hour. It goes all the way up, easy. It has a very strong engine. So would you have to try it? Would you try it again on a small, on a little hill, on a mound? No. Once you see the power of the engine, so you know it's a good engine. So once Avram has been tested for Akedas Yitzchak, he's shechted his only son. Why does he need to be tested again? To spend some money to buy a kever? Big deal. Small deal. So therefore, it makes sense. Bartonur says that the Akedah was trial number 10. Finished. So what's Rabbeinu Yoina? How does Rabbeinu Yoina learn that the Kvur Asara was number 10, but why is he being tested again for something so small when he's already passed the big one? Good Shaila. So we're going to say that the question is the answer. You're right. Akedas Yitzchak is big. Kvur Asara is small. But sometimes small things are harder than the big things. We see it. We have heroes in battle. People, soldiers, willing to risk their life to save a fellow soldier, a wounded soldier. They'll run between the bullets and with being totally brave. drag him away, save their friend. Heroes, risk their lives, real heroes. But does it mean that when he comes home, he gets home with his wife? No. When he gets back to little life, he can be an angry person, a bitter person, be jealous, have all the bad things. How could that be? You're so big, you risk your life to save your friends, and now with little tiny things, he's so bitter. He gets angry with little things. Why? Because big things, in a certain level, they're easier, because they're clear. It was clear to him his friend on the battlefield needed to be saved. He did it. He was a hero. He risked his life. Because it was clear the importance. But little things not to be accepted by my wife, my neighbor, my son. That's little. That's what he falls. So it's true, Avraham Avinu gets in the word from Cheshvochu, Kachan is bin cha yichid cha. Do it. He gets direct in the word from Hashem. Hashem commanded him. Okay, as big as it is, it's clear. He knew what he had to do. But when now Avram's down, his wife just passed away, and he has to now haggle. Instead of being maspita, he has to get up. V'yokum Avram al pnei mesay. He has to leave Sarah and start haggling with these chevra who play games with him. He said, "Oh yeah, I have it taken for free." So he could say, leave me alone. Come on, my wife said, Kushbrochu can't leave me alone this time. I had enough. I've done everything. He could have said that. You promised me the land. Come on. As small as it is, that's an Isoyan. And no, Avraham doesn't lose it. He's calm. He speaks to them. He haggles with them. Because he accepts Ratzon Hashem. And that's why Kuntra Ben Yonah, it's the 10th Nisoyon, and it must be on a certain level a bigger Nisoyon than Akedah Sitzvah. It has to be, because Rabbeinu Yonah counts as now as Nisoyon number 10. So it's a message for life, that sometimes we're very careful of the big things. Bow down to Avodah Zorah. No, I'll die. Get up for shul on time. Ah, come on. You know that sometimes little things are harder. So that maybe that's the only sign. Derech Eretz. Before that, sorry. Rashi brings in Pasuk Beis, what was the cause of Sarah's death? Rashi brings down, what's the connection between Misa Sarah and Akedas Yitzchak? Says Rashi, it was through the Basura of the Akedah. Through that Sarah was informed about the Akedah that caused her to die. If she psuras Akedah shenizdamin bnon shchita, when she was told that her son was supposed to be shechted, the kimat v'loy nishchat, and he almost wasn't shechted. Parcha nishmasa umesa. What does that mean? The kimat? But if he wasn't shechted, what's the problem? It means the shliach wasn't able. Didn't the shliach told her your son was taken for shchita? He almost told her, but he wasn't shechted. Too late. She's gone. Kimat lo nishchat. That's a sister Chaim explains this. He almost told her that he wasn't shechted. He wasn't shechted. It's too. I saw Pinchas speaks about this and says, see how careful we have to be. We deal with other people. The shliach was intended for the good, trying to tell her, you know, your son's alright. But the way he phrased it, he frightened her. and that causes it to die. Had he done the other way around, you know, your son's all right. Let me tell you what happened. You're supposed to be shechted. It would have been a different story. We have to be careful not to frighten people. Right? Your son went on a tiul in the Cheder's day, right? You heard about the accident, yeah? You heard? Your son's all right. Maybe you frightened him. You got to tell him, your son's all right, there was an accident. And therefore, we have to be careful not to frighten people. If we're late, make a phone call, say, I'm coming late. Because your wife gets worried. Parents get worried. This is the point we see from this parasha. We see how sensitive we have to be to people. And that, if the power of bad news, saying things bad, frightening people, so what's the power of good news? Say a good word to a person. You can give him life, uplift him. This parasha is all about Derech Eretz. The Mishnah says in Ovis, in Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Zayin, Im Ein Derech Eretz Ein Torah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what does Derech Eretz have to do with Torah? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, I mean, what the Mishnah telling us, a person must first work on his midas, and that will let the Torah dwell on him. She'inenu Sheikhenes L'Olam. The Torah will never dwell. The goof she'ein about midas toivos. If the person doesn't have good midas, the Torah can't stay there. If him ain't derech eretz in Torah, that's how important derech eretz is. In the discussion, in the story of how Avram acquires, deals with Bnei Ches, it says twice he bowed down to them. In Pasuk Zayin, Vayishtachav el Amoret, Bnei Ches. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishtachav Avram lifnei Amoret. Twice he bows down to them. He speaks to them with great respect, very respectful way. Even though they were, it's his land, it was promised to him. Even though they were overcharging him, he still speaks to them with Derech Eretz. Says Rav Dessler in Chelek Dalet, says, don't think he was trying to be machnif, he was trying to flatter them. Chas v'sholom. A great man wouldn't flatter. But he was speaking to Derech Eretz because they deserve it. When you're speaking to a person, he deserves kovod. It says choiva to give respect to people. And the point is that even a person is in sorrow, and Avram is down, his wife just passed away, but they don't have to lose out. A person who's upset might speak negatively, speak unrespectfully, but what we're learning over here, because you're in Tsar, doesn't mean they lose out from their covet. You still have to give it to them. Now, Avraham Avinu bowed out to them, he spoke to them in a nice way, because that's his chiyuv to respect them. What's it based on? The Mishnah says in Ovis Paragimel, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Selem, person has Selem Elohim, we spoke about this, even a goy. The Mishnah says in Gittin, fifth parak, Shoyalim b'shloimon ipnei Darkei Shalom. Darkei Shalom is to ask a goy, how are you doing? The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, Omu olav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shreikdimu Adam Shalom Yoilom. Never did a person greet him first. He always greet other people first. Afilu Nochri Bashuk. Even a goy in the market, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would be the first one to say hello to him. Now you might think Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was daydreaming. He had nothing to do with his time. But the Gemara in Sukkah tells us in Daf Chof Ches, Shloi Niach Mikro Mishna Gemara Halachos Vagodos Sichas Malachi Ashores Omaisim Merkava. He knew everything, the whole Torah. He obviously was busy, but still, he never missed a goy to say hello. Culture came to a Jew. And this is not Midas Hasidus. Because who's the one in the mission who says, Have a Mekabel Kol Odom Sever Ponim Yofes? Who says that? Shammai. Shammai Din. Not Hillel. Wasn't Hillel said that? Shammai says that. Have a Mekabel Kol Odom Sever Ponim Yofes. So this says Rav Dessler, this is what's happening over here. We learn from Avram, his Derech Eretz, how he related to people. Even people who were really bad, but still he spoke to them respectively. It wasn't Hanufa. He's giving them respect because they deserve the respect. Even though Avram had his own sorrow, he still gave it to them. Important point to remember. The story of Eliezer. The long story of Eliezer, Avad Avram. Very long. How he went, found Rivka, and then it's all told over again. He repeats it back to Pesuel, the whole thing again. The Medrash Rabbah over here in Chayei Sarah brings Yafes Sichoson Shel Avdei Avos Mitoroson Shel Banim. The Sicha, the speech, the words of the Avodim, of the fathers, are yafer than Toiroson Shel Bonim. What way? Because Parashasa Shel Eliezer Shnai Megimel Dapim, it's two or three Dapim long in the Torah, and it's repeated again. Ve'en domoi v'sheretz migufei Torah ve'en domoi metame kepsoroi edom yibui dekro. Sheretz is Tumah. What about the blood of the Sheretz? Is it also have Tumah? It's metama kepsarai miribui dekra, from a word, or a ribui. It's gufei Torah, but it only gets written in a ribui. And the sichosin shel avdei avos is repeated again in such a long way. So we see the yafes sichosin shel avos. What's the idea behind this? Why indeed is the sikh of the avdei avos repeated in such a long way, and Torah itself is in such a short, condensed way? Says Rav Aaron Kotler in Chelek Aleph. The chat is, Torah is clear, halacha is clear. Once you know how to darshan the Torah and you find out that the dam of the sheret is the metamek of basa, that's it. So no need to write it in a long way. It's black and white. But when it comes to midos and derech eretz, it's so subjective to the person, to the other person, to where you are. Therefore, there's no black and white rules what to do and how to behave. You need to have vonat halev. You have to understand the principle behind it. You have to be sensitive to the idea, and then you apply it. You have to judge how to apply it, and when to apply it, when not to apply it. You know the famous story of the Chosin who was given a drachah for his wedding. So the teacher, the madras told him, you should know, whenever your wife makes sponja, don't walk on the wet floor. And he was told, and he was also told, if any cockroaches, you've got to go and destroy them. Got to hit cockroaches. So the shayla, what's the din if there's a cockroach on the wet floor? Shayla is, what do I do now? Okay, so you've got to understand the principle, you've got to understand, right? You have to judge the situation. There's no black and white rules. So therefore, the Torah has to be marich. Look at the big picture, look what happened with Eliezer, and get the ideas. But Mashenki and Gufei Torah are short. The dam of the sheretz is metame, that's it. And Rabbaran says a dover neira, frightening thoughts. So a person who doesn't work on his derech eretz, on his midas, where he interacts with people, will end up being Mechal Hashem Sham, will come to Chil Hashem. Chil Shem is most of the Veiros HaChamurois, that is no kapara except for death. What's the connection Derech Eretz and Chil Hashem? Because you look up at the Gemara Yuma, it describes Heichi Domi Kiddush Hashem, Heichi Domi Chil Hashem. It's what people, all things that will happen where you act with people. If people will say Oy le Rabbi Shlim Doi Torah, Oy le Ovi Shlim Doi Torah, that's Chil Hashem. So people are lacking in Derech Eretz. When they act with people, people come look down on them. You come to Chil Hashem, which is Maveiros HaChamurois. That's why Derech Eretz is so important. Yalkut Shimoni in Vayikra, in the first pasuk, says Vayikra El Moshe. Hashem calls Moshe to come into the Ohel Moed. Says the Medrash, Mikan Omru Kol Tamot Chochem She'im Bo Das Nevela Toiv Emenu. A dead corpse is better than him. Why? Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Av of the Nevi'im. He's the Av of the Chochmah. He took him out of Mitzrayim. Made all these Nisim. He built the Mishkan. He didn't go in until he was called. He didn't enter until Hashem called him in. He built the Mishkan. Hashem told him, it's for you. I'm going to speak with you. But had Moshe entered without permission, it would be inappropriate. The lack of Derech Eretz. And what happened? Nevela Toiv Emenu. Okay, he didn't. He went in without permission, so what? Nevela Toiv Emenu. Why? Says the Baron, because if the Torah is being contained in something disgusting, it's bizarre in a Torah. So, if we're lacking Derech Eretz, it's a bizarre for the Torah. Nevela Toiv Emenu. So let's see, what can we learn from Derech Eretz of Eliezer? First we see Eliezer looking for a wife for Yitzhak. He knew she has to be Balas Chesed. That's the qualities that needed to be Eishes Yitzhak, Balas Chesed. Not only that, Eliezer said, when he tells her, I'm going to ask her, let me drink. Hati no kadech ve'eshte. And if she says, drink and give the camels a drink, I know she's the wife. What was on Eliezer's mind? Why was it just random that he asked to drink and she should offer the camels a drink? Is that random? Was that just a random guess that Eliezer made? So it says the Beis Halevi, it wasn't. It was testing her common sense. Because what happened? Right? She had come, she just drawn water in her jug. What did Eliezer ask for? Let me drink from Mikadech. They weren't that rich to have chad pami. They didn't have any disposable cups around. Right? She's going to drink from the jug. Now, so that's ready. That's really big in Nisoyen, because you know she's a stranger, just drunk from a jug. What's she gonna do with the rest of her water? She take it home from a stranger. Who's this guy? Some Eved, Schwarzer. I'll take the water home to the family. What you gonna do now? But first of all, she agrees. But now what? So what should she do now? What do you say? This Eved, this unknown Eved, is drunk out of a jug. Now what do you do with the rest of the water? What do you say? What? Well, she really needs to pour it away. You say, you know, just pour it away and draw some more new water. That's very offensive. It's offensive, the person just drank out of the jug and he's like Mukta now. He's contaminated the water and we pour it away in front of his face. So what's the goyness? So she thinks of a way, this is all Yezek is expecting. So she thinks of a way how to get rid of the water in a non-offensive way. How do you do that? Oh, I'll let the camel drink. Okay, all this, Eliezer, pre-planned. That's what he's expecting. Oh, this is the woman that we want. Derech Eretz, common sense, be sensitive to people. But she did it more than that. Because she, Eliezer, was only expecting that jug, the leftovers of the jug, to be given to the camels. But to draw again for the camels, that he wasn't expecting. She said, you drink, the camels will drink, till they finish, I'll draw water again for the camels. And that is pure chesed, it wasn't necessary. It wasn't even expected. It's just pure good heartness. That's the Beis HaLevi. Again, be sensitive to the people they're feeding. In a clever way, let's be clever. There's other things to notice. Eliezer, when he, in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Eliezer says that the girl who will say, Sheseh v'gam gmalecho ashkeh, the girl who will offer me, you drink, and your camels, that's the girl I want. What actually happened? In Pasuk Yud Tes, sorry, in Pasuk Yud Ches, Rivka says, V'toyma sheseh adoni, you drink. In Pasuk Yud Tes, V'tachal ashkoy soy, when she finishes giving the drink, then she offers a gift to the camels. Gam legamalecho eshav, I will draw for your camels. Again, Eliezer expects one statement: you and your camels are gift to drink. What actually happens? She speaks twice. First time she says, you drink. Second, when he finishes, he offers, I'll give your camels a drink. What changed? Says the Baron. Because he made an equation: you and your camels will drink. She didn't want to do that. He was equating man and animals, not covered. So she didn't do that. She said, you drink. When you finish, give the animals a drink. Second reason, because tzaddikim omrim ma'at v'oisim harpe. They don't give big drosh of what I'm going to do. Politician says, oh, I'll do everything for you. But tzaddiki came out the way, they say a bit. So she said, you drink. And then I'll give animals a drink. And the third reason is because sometimes if you tell a person in advance how much you're going to look after you, you're such a nebuch, I'm going to give you this and this and look after you, the guy feels embarrassed. If it's just a bit of chesed, he feels more comfortable to accept it. You shouldn't say, I'm going to give you and your animals, look after you, you're an invalid, we'll look after you. You shouldn't say that. I'll give you to drink. Accept that. And so I'll give you your camels to drink. So again, being sensitive, these are all ideas of Derech Eretz. Another point, that Eliezer was a very harsh of a guy. His master was called Nasi Elohim. That's how they called Avram. Nasi Elohim Atabrakir. So, and he was the big Askan. He was Avram's secretary. Right? He says, Moshe Bechol Ashaloi, he controlled the whole affairs of Avram Avinu. He was the chief advisor. And he was the Doilo Mashke, he would teach Avram's Torah. So he could have introduced himself as being the vice president or some high-ranking minister in the Malchus of Avraham Avinu, the Nasi Elohim. That's how he could have introduced himself. How did he in fact introduce himself to Psuel? What did he say? Eved Avraham Avinu. I'm an Eved. So the Gemara says in Bava Kama Tzadik Beis, that milsa gnor isbach, you have something gnai, say it. Don't try and hide it. Kadim ba'amra, say it first, put it on the table. Just be straight. Don't try and give impressions. Just say who you are. Just put it out on the table. That's what Chazal says. That's what he was. He was Eved. He was also at these positions. He's an Eved. These are all ideas of the Acheret, how to be sensitive. Now, in Pasuk Lamed Tes, let's start with Pasuk Hey. Perek Chodadot Pasuk Hey. And this is Eliezer being received the order from Avram to go and find the Yishol Yitzchak. Vayomer of Eved, Ulay lo yisoyf vayishol leches acharay l'eretz hazois. Maybe she won't want to come with. Ha'hoshev oshev es bincho l'eretz hazois yotzal se misham. Should I take your son over to them? So from no way. So there's two parts. He says, maybe Ulay, she won't want to go. And the second part is, should I take your son there? Rom says no. Now, in Pasuk Lamed Tes, where Eliezer is saying over the story to Besuel, there it's written, "Va'yomer Adoni, ulai lo yisele ha'isha acharai." Maybe she won't want to go. So he cuts off the second part, of Hoshev Oshev is bincha l'eretz she'asasim shama. Should I bring your son there? He cuts that out. Number two, in Pasuk Lamed Tes, it says Ulai without a vav. Says Rashi, Eliezer had a daughter, and therefore Eli Ksiv. The way it's written, the letters are Eli to me. Can I take? I have a daughter. Can I offer shidduch to Yitzchak? If she won't want to go, maybe I can offer my daughter, Eli. The mom says no. The question is, if indeed Eliezer was referring to his own daughter, why does this Eli only pop up when he's saying it over to Psuel? When he actually spoke to Avram in Pasuk Hey, there it says Ulai with a vav. This whole thing is written wrong. Chazal teaching us that Eliezer was really saying, Eli, can I offer? If it doesn't, can I be the second in line? If Rifka doesn't work out, can I offer my own daughter, Eli? So we should find in Pasuk Hey, when he actually spoke to Avram, that's where we should have an Eli to me. Why is it this information is only popping up when he's speaking to Psuel? And he's not saying Psuel, he's only giving him half the story. He omits the idea that he said, should I take your son there? What's that? Says Rav Dessler in Michtav Elio Chelek Beis. Because you're right, Eliezer had a Nagia. There's a conflict of interest over here, and what therefore at the time when Eliezer actually spoke to Avram, it was Lashem Shamayim. When he asked the question Eli, he wasn't aware that he had an interest. He meant, in his mind, it was a genuine question. Maybe she won't want to go. Should I take your son there? That was looking at the time. He felt it being genuine. because he had a negia. He was blind. But in the meantime, after he spoke to Avram, he went to find Rivka. He davened, got all these simonim, all the davened for worked out. The girl came, and the girl did offered him to drink and the camels to drink. And Eliezer knows that it's right because he gives her the ring straight away, even asking who she is, because he knows this is the right one. Now, so he knows for sure this is the girl for Yitzchak, 100%. He's already given her the tabas. She's now engaged. Now when he's saying the story back, he doesn't have an agia anymore. It's done. It's a done deal. This girl, Yitzchak, is married. He's not going to marry Eliezer's daughter. Now when he says the story back, he's realizing that when I asked Ulai with a vav, now it's Eli. Actually, deep down when I was asking what will happen if she won't want to come, deep down, I wasn't aware of it in my subconscious. I was asking Eli, but only now it pops up. So once I realized that, the second question, should I take your son there, is not relevant, because now I realized it wasn't real, it wasn't a 100% real question. So that's the power of negia. A person has a negia, has a negia badover, and sometimes it's so deep down he's not so even aware of it. That's something you have to be careful. If we have an argument, difference of opinion, sometimes maybe deep down we have an underlining force behind us. Maybe you want to argue with the guy, you want to hurt the guy. Maybe deep down in our questions and our criticism, it's not truly MS. Okay, we meet Eidoshne Chai Sara, Mea Shana, Shevim Shana, Esim Shana, Kulam Sharpin a Toiva, says Rashi. They're all equal. The end of the parasha in Perakov Zain, Pasuk Zain, Eilu Yumei Shnei Chai Sara. Yumei Shnei Chai Sara. Years and days, the story is told. Once a visitor went to visit a city, and he passed by the Beis HaKvaros. He went to visit the tombstones. He sees that here Yankala died at the age of 10, and his Aaron died at the age of 15. He sees whole Beis HaKvaros full of people died so young. So he asks, what's going on? What type of city is this? I don't know. In your city, they write how many years the person died, he lived for. In this city, we count the days. How many days did you live? We add up the years by the days. And Ebuch, you can have people who may be 90 years old. What did they do with their days? They wasted their days. He's still a child. So here's a man of 90 who's really only 10 years old. He only had 10 years old of 355 days a year. But by Avram, Eliyumei Shnei Chai Avram, he had full years. The years were full. Well, the days were full. Therefore, the years were real years. It's something we have to be careful about, to use our time. One last point. Okay. I want to tell you, I used to teach in Eshet Torah. So Rav Noach Weinberg, old Rosh Yeshiva, so he had a story. There's once a bocher traveling on a bus, a long distance bus, long journey, and there's a guy in front of him that after the bus is traveling, he takes a dollar, opens the window and throws the dollar out the window. The bocher thinks he must be dreaming. Five minutes later, again the guy takes out a dollar, opens the window, throws out the window. What's going on? Every 5 minutes, this guy is taking a dollar and throwing out the window. The whole journey. Throw a dollar. Throw a dollar. They arrive at the destination, and this old man approaches the bocher and says, Excuse me, I'm out of money. Would you like to help me? Could you give me a loan? I'm out of money. The Baruch Hu, are you crazy? You're mad. You need to throw your money through out the window. I'm going to help you. From Shugana. The old man told the Baruch Hu, and did you not throw your daughters out the window? What were you doing during the journey? What were you doing with your time? Isn't your time worth money? You were throwing your time. You were wasting your time as well. Okay. That's the Meister of Noach Weinberg. So his son, Rav Hillel Weinberg, look. So he takes out. This is. I was there. Okay, I'm telling a real story. He pulls out $100 note. Says, here's $100. I checked it. I asked the money changer to check this note for me. It's a real note. Now, if I will throw the $100 out the window, there'll be no one left in the Beis Medrash. Everyone will go running to find $100. What I'm going to do is the following. He rips the note. Now, what's going on? Everyone's like, what is going on? Ah, you think I'm going to stick it, right? Rip the note, I can stick it. Rips it again. 4 times. I'm still going to stick it, huh? This one. I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? And she hadn't been paying for a long time. Like, everyone's like, need that money? And he said, Rip. You all care. You care about this, that it wasted $100. Do you think your time's not worth $100? So next time you waste your time, just think that you wasted $100. So I asked the Bacher to collect it, to give me a piece. Here's a piece of that $100. Here's a real piece. It's a real piece, and he made it into a card for me. And that's a piece of that $100. Okay? But anyway, the message is, time is precious. Okay, I don't have $100 to spare about you, but that's the message, and time is precious. And Eli Mei Shnei Chai Avraham. So we should make sure our years are full of days, our days are full, that utilize our time for the right things, not waste it. Shukran, thank you very much.
I think it's like a federal crime.